how foolish they are, and how slow of heart they are to believe all that the prophets spoke, and all that their fellow disciples have seen, and all that the people of Jerusalem report to be true, and everything that they had hoped for and dreamed of and longed after. How foolish to be so slow of heart that even on Easter day they despair and fail to trust God's word. No wonder Jesus himself returns to walk with them, to open his word for them. Do everything for them, in fact, but sit down with one of those My Bible Story coloring books and help them fill in all the lines. They finally get it when he blesses and breaks bread with them. Their Christ is still with them. And so long as they faithfully bless and break bread together, he will never leave them. With this revelation, Christ vanishes, and the disciples' hearts burn within them. Whatever spiritual morass slowed their hearts, it is now consumed in the refueled furnace of faith, grit and fluttering ash. They reverse course, run back to Jerusalem, find the 11, and loudly preach with them, "The Lord has truly been raised." It's 3 days past Easter Day for us. Where is your heart? How's it running? Lukewarm? Burning hot? Cold as a winter stone? For answers, none of these are really surprising, are they? So difficult is the struggle to remain faithful that admitting, even now, just 3 days into the octave, admitting even now that our hearts have grown cold or colder wouldn't take any of us by surprise. Why is it so difficult for us to believe? We can blame our secularist culture. That's easy. Lax parenting. It's even easier. Fallen human nature. Well, that's the easiest of all. And none of these is false for being easy, of course, but I wonder if they are by now a little cliche. Our disciples on the road to Emmaus are slow of heart to believe. Why? They admit to the stranger with them, "We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel." They were disciples, students, and friends of Jesus because they expected him to redeem Israel. Their disappointment is contagious. It spreads from their hard heads to their warmish hearts, and gumming up all of the trusting works and turning Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection into a disheartening execution of yet another disappointing messianic figure. Though they call him a prophet mighty in word and deed, it appears that they skipped classes on those days when Jesus all but strings a sign around his neck reading, "I am the promised Messiah." So why do we find believing so difficult sometimes? One small answer from the gospel. God tends to act in ways that disappoint our expectations. How do we trust someone who often acts contrary to expectation? Someone who frequently surprises us, shocks us. Trusting someone else to do things correctly is exhausting work. Besides, bending all of creation to my will takes a lot of time and energy. How dare God spring little moments of random joy on me? How dare he thwart my plans for me? What does he expect from me anyway? Surrender? Abandonment of my will for his? How do I trust that the fire he has ignited in my heart won't burn me alive? What can I hold back just for me? Nothing. Nothing at all. At the beautiful gate of the temple, Peter said to the man crippled from birth, "In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk." All who saw him stand up and leap about were amazed and astonished at what had happened to him. Will all those who see you today be amazed and astonished at the power of the fire that burns in your heart? Will they see in you a person once lame, now walking and running and leaping about? Will they see in you the risen Christ? Let them hear you and see you preach in word and deed as a mighty prophet, our Easter shout. The Lord has truly been raised.